ॐ भद्रं कन्ने भिश्रुणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः स्तुष्टुपागंसस्तनूभिः व्यशेम देवहितैयदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमस्ते गणपतये त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं तत्त्वमसि त्वमेव केवलं कर्तासि त्वमेव केवलं धर्तासि त्वमेव केवलं हर्तासि त्वमेव सर्वं खल्विदं ब्रह्मासि त्वं साक्षादात्मासि नित्यम् ऋतं वच्मि सत्यं वच्मि अवत्वं माम् अववक्तारम् अवश्रोतारम् अवदातारम् अवधातारम् अवानोचानमवशिष्यम् अवपश्चात्तात् अवपुरस्तात् अवोत्तरात्तात् अवदक्षिणात्तात् अवचोर्ध्वात्तात् अवाधरात्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् सर्वतो मां पाहि पाहि समन्तात् त्वं वाङ्मयस्त्वं चिन्मयः त्वमानन्दमयस्त्वं ब्रह्ममयः त्वं सच्चिदानन्दाद्वितीयोऽसि त्वं प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वं ज्ञानमयो विज्ञानमयोऽसि सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तो जायते सर्वं जगदिदं त्वत्तस्तिष्ठति सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि लयमेष्यति सर्वं जगदिदं त्वयि प्रत्येति त्वं भूमिरापो नलो निलो नभः त्वं चत्वारि वाक्पदानि त्वं गुणत्रयातीतः त्वम् अवस्थात्रयातीतः त्वं देहत्रयातीतः त्वं कालत्रयातीतः त्वं मूलाधारस्थितोऽसि नित्यम् त्वं शक्तित्रयात्मकः त्वां योगिनो ध्यायन्ति नित्यम् त्वं ब्रह्मा त्वं विष्णुस्त्वं रुद्रस्त्वमिन्द्रस्त्वमग्निस्त्वं वायुस्त्वं सूर्यस्त्वं चन्द्रमास्त्वं ब्रह्म भूर्भुवस्वरो गणादिं पूर्वमुच्चार्य वर्णादीं तदनन्तरम् अनुस्वारः परतरः अर्धेन्दुलसितं तारेण रुद्धम् एतत्तवमनुस्वरूपम् गकारः पूर्वरूपम् अकारो मध्यमरूपम् अनुस्वारश्च अन्त्यरूपम् बिन्दुरुत्तररूपम् नादसन्धानम् तगुंहिता सन्धिः सैषा गणेशविद्या गणकऋषिः निच्छृद्गायत्री छन्दः गणपतिर्देवता ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ गं गणपतये नमः ॐ ஓம் கங் கணபதயே நமஹ. ஓம் ஏகதந்தாய வித்மஹே வக்ரதுண்டாய தீமஹி தன்னோ தந்திஃ பிரசோதயாத். ஏகதந்தம் சதுர்ஹஸ்தம் பாஷமங்குஷதாரிணம் ரதம் ச வரதம் ஹஸ்தைர் விப்ராணம் மோஷகத்வஜம் ரத்தம் லம்போதரம் ஷூர்பகர்ணகம் ரக்தவாசசம் ரக்தகந்தானுலிப்தாங்கம் ரக்தபுஷ்பைஃ சுபூஜிதம் பக்தானுகம்பினம் தேவம் ஜகத்காரணமச்சுதம் ஆவிர்பூதம் ச ஸ்ருஷ்ட்யாதோ ப்ரக்ருதே புருஷாத்பரம் ஏவம் த்யாயதி யோ நித்யம் ச யோகீ யோகினாம் வரஹ. ஓம் நமோ வ்ராதபதயே நமோ கணபதயே நமஃ ப்ரமதபதயே நமஸ்தே ஸ்து லம்போதராய ஏகதந்தாய விக்னவிநாசினே சிவசுதாய ஸ்ரீவரதமூர்த்தயே நமோ நம. ஓம் ஸ்ரீமன் மகாகணாதிபதயே நம. And this Ganapati Atharva series Upanishad, the beauty of this Upanishad is, it gives the vision of Bhagavan, vision of the truth, like any other Upanishad. At the same time, this Upanishad also has some beautiful prayers. So the complete Upanishad, but it's a small but complete. And the words are very, very simple. So the very title tells you that it belongs to Atharva Veda. Ganapati Atharva Sirsha Upanishad. Ganapati Atharva Sirsha Upanishad. So Ganapati Atharva Sirsha Upanishad. So in Sanskrit class you will learn the sandhis. How the euphonic combination brings the letters together. Ganapatyatharva Sirshopanishad. Last class we saw the Atharva Veda Shanti Mantra's meaning. We have started this Upanishad. So first we offer salutations to Bhagavan. And I explained the meaning of this word Ganapati itself. So Gana, I said Patihi. First I said Patihi. The Patihi, generally the word ending with Ti, Vikaranta Shabda, lots of words are in feminine gender words. But this one word, Patihi, is a masculine gender word. You know what? Suppose I tell you, Bhaktihi, Shrutihi, Matihi, Kirtihi. Matihi, Bhaktihi, Shrutihi, Kirtihi, Vasatihi. You know, like that, lots of words are feminine gender words. Except this one word, Patihi. Patihi is not a feminine gender word, it's a masculine gender word. Because now you're all Sanskrit students, better to remember this. And as I said, this has come from the root Pa, which means to protect. And the verb is Pati, like Gachati. The verb is Pati. Pati means protects. So the word Patihi means the one who protects. Pati iti Patihi. Pati iti Patihi. The one who protects is Patihi. And the one who protects is the one who can be the Lord. So Patihi also means the Lord. How come we attribute the Lord, the status of being the Lord? Because the one who protects alone can be the Lord. Pati iti patihi. The protector, therefore the Lord. And the Lord of what here? Lord of Ganaha. As I said in the last class, the word Ganaha literally means a group. And here, Ganaha stands for innumerable, countless groups of beings. So, it's a compound word, not one Ganaha. There are innumerable, countless Ganaha. Bahavaha Ganaha Santi. So, Gananam Patihi Ganapatihi. So, Gananam, now you know the meaning. Because you have learned Akaranta Spulling Sangshabda. Therefore, you know now. Gananam Patihi Ganapatihi. The Lord of all the groups of beings. For Ganapatihi. Also, it means Lord of all the laws. The group of laws which govern the laws which govern everything for Ganapati. There's no being which is not within a group, and there's no group which is not, which is outside of the truth, which is Bhagavan. The Bhagavan, so is the only Lord of all the groups of beings, all the laws. So Ganapati he. So first we say Om Namaste Ganapataye. And like any mantra, this Upanishad also begins with Omkaraha. And you all know the meaning of this word Omkaraha very well. You've already done the famous, the most important, the brilliant Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad, where we have elaborately discussed Omkaraha. Still, I can briefly tell you, Om. Om is a pratikam, a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. I'm sure you know Pratima is a form symbol. Pratikam is any symbol other than the form. It is a sound form. Form symbol. A form with the limbs is Pratima. The Ganapati which we have at home, the picture or murti with all the limbs and also with the symbol we have at home, the elephant head, you know, that is a pratima. But this Om is a pratikam because it's a sound symbol. And Omkaraha consists of three sounds, akara, ukara, makaraha, you know very well. And akaraha stands for gross manifestation. Ukaraha stands for subtle manifestation. And makaraha, anuswaraha, the nasal sound makar stands for the unmanifest universe. So, unmanifest, subtle manifestation, gross manifestation. Anyway, the universe, whether manifest or unmanifest, the universe doesn't have independent existence outside of Bhagavan. The whole universe, the unmanifest also remains unmanifest in the reality, the truth, which is Bhagavan. Manifest also exists in Bhagavan. Therefore we say the whole universe is manifestation of the Lord. Therefore the whole universe is the Lord. Therefore here we say akara, ukara, makara. Then the silence which follows makara symbolizes the Nirgunam Brahma, the pure knowledge, the abstract truth, the consciousness. And what is this Akara, Ukara, Makara? All the three, the gross manifestation, subtle manifestation, and the unmanifest universe are nothing but manifestation of this only truth obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. It is symbolized by this silence. Therefore, Om stands for both Sagunam Brahma, the Ishwaraha, the Lord, and Nirgunam Brahma, Brahma, the pure knowledge. Very literally, I want to say little bit, not much here. So this Upanishad begins with Omkaraha. Om Namaste Ganapataye. So Namaha Te, salutations to you. So Ganapataye is in fourth case. You know that Ganapati Ikaranta Shabdaha. Ikarantaha Pullingaha Ganapati Shabdaha. Therefore, in dative case, it becomes Ganapataye. Salutations unto you, the Lord of all groups of beings. Om Namaste Ganapataye. There afterwards, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi. Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi. And we are addressing the Lord. We are telling, Tvam eva pratyaksham brahma asi. Tvam eva pratyaksham brahma asi. One sentence consisting of five words. Tvam eva pratyaksham brahma asi. Tvam asi. Thou art. You are. O Lord, you are. You are. Tvam asi. And what are you? You are pratyaksham brahma asi. What is pratyaksham brahma? The directly perceptible is pratyaksham. Directly perceptible is pratyaksham. And what is imperceptible? What is indirectly perceptible? So pratyaksham stands for directly perceptible. And what is not perceptible here, what is imperceptible is the perceiver. And the perceiver is immediate self. Immediately available self, the truth as one's own self is aparoksham brahma. So, pratyaksham brahma, aparoksham brahma. You understand this? Aparoksham brahma. Because paroksha means indirectly known is paroksham. Directly known is pratyaksham. But not known, but immediately available as the nearest self, as one's own self, is a paroksham brahma. The perceiver, the truth obtaining as the perceiver, not the perceived, which is neither the directly perceived nor the indirectly perceived, but the very perceiver is what? A paroksham brahma. So here we say, Tvameva pratyaksham brahmasi. So what is this directly perceptible truth? The truth obtaining as the aparoksham brahma, the absolute reality, the all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost self here, as the immediate self alone, is here as what? This perceptible, directly perceptible world also. So pratyaksham brahma means the directly perceptible, the entire cosmos is also nothing but brahma. O Lord, thou art this objectively perceptible entire cosmos. This is secret, no? Here already we are saying there's nothing which is not Bhagavan here. Tvam eva pratyaksham brahmasi. Tvam eva pratyaksham brahmasi. Tvam eva pratyaksham brahmasi. Tvam eva pratyaksham brahmasi. So pratyaksham brahma means here the only the entire perceptible world is nothing but Brahma. What about this perceptible world? Directly perceptible, this whole universe is nothing right in front of us, nothing but Brahma. So Lord, you are this entire universe, entire cosmos, directly perceived. And here pratyaksham Brahma is directly perceptible truth in the form of the world. You cannot perceive the truth as the truth, but you are perceiving the truth in the form of the universe. Exactly like how you see the water in the form of the waves and ocean. You see the gold in the form of the ornaments, but here the very perceiver reality is perceived in the form of the objective universe. Lord, you are in the form of this entire objective universe. And that there is Tvam Pratyaksham Brahma Asi, four words are over. But there is an Eva. That Eva is an indeclinable word which cannot be declined into case forms, but which emphasizes the fact that is revealed by other four words. Tvam Pratyaksham Brahma Asi. Thou art the directly perceptible this entire cosmos. Means there's nothing else other than you. It is you. You alone are in the form of this entire objective universe. And to emphasize that fact, that Eva is used. Tvameva pratyaksham brahmasi. That Eva. Om namaste ganapataye. Tvameva pratyaksham brahmasi. Tvameva pratyaksham brahmasi. Tvameva kevalam kartasi. Tvameva kevalam karta asi. Having said that, now that sentence needs to be elaborated. Which one? Tvameva pratyaksham brahmasi. O Lord, you alone art this entire objective universe. Directly perceptible universe you are. Which means, in one sentence, we have concluded what? There's nothing which is not the Lord here. All that is here is only the Lord. That fact is already revealed in this one sentence. Svameva pratyaksham brahmasi. You may have a doubt why we use this word Brahma there. Again, when you address the Lord, Lord is Brahma. Ishwara is Brahma. Brahman is not Ishwara, but Ishwara is Brahman. What is the difference? You know, when you say Ishwara, we say Sagunam Brahma. And we say the truth, Nirgunam Brahma. So we simply, use the term Brahma or Nirgunam Brahma, you mean the truth, the reality. If you say Sagunam Brahma, you say Ishwaraha. two words. What's the difference? So here, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahma means you are, thou art the Lord, the, you are the Brahma, means this entire objective universe also is implied by the term Brahma. You know why? Because the whole universe is manifestation of the only reality, the only truth, the only abstract substance. And it is implied by the term Brahma. And we all know very well, having studied many Upanishads and having been listening to the teaching for quite some time, you all know why the reality is implied by the term Brahma. Brihat tamatvat Brahma. Brihat means big, and brihat taram, bigger, brihat tamam, biggest. Brihat, brihat taram, brihat tamam. Brihat is comparative degree, big. Brihat taram, bigger. Brihat tamam, biggest. So brihat tamatvat Brahma ityuchyate. So because of its status, because of its bigness, the truth is implied by the term Brahma. And brihat tamam itself tells you what biggest means, is a thing which is bigger than the truth. So why nothing which is bigger than the truth? Truth is the biggest of all that is here. Which means, in fact, truth alone is. And you know very well how big it is. It is, you know, this, it is also not a new lesson for you. It is incomparably big. Incomparably big means how time-wise, limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. Therefore, nothing is comparable to this Brahma. Why? Everything in this universe is time-wise limited, object-wise limited, spatially limited. Therefore, nothing is comparable. And second thing, second reason is, there are two things, two realities must be there, then two things can be compared. But here, the truth happens to be one. Second truth being not there, it is implied by, it's incomparable. Incomparable because no second thing other than Brahma. Therefore incomparable. So we say that is Brahma. And he did that truth, the Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahma see, and that this whole, because Pratyaksham is there, therefore the word Pratyaksham implies this objective universe. And the word Brahma implies the very truth. So how is it? So how to understand here? This whole objective universe, which is directly perceptible through five sense organs in five different forms as five different objects, is nothing but the truth, which is of the nature of limitlessness, thereby implied by the term, and the truth alone enjoys the status of being the Lord here. The truth is not the Lord, but there's no Lord other than the truth. There's no Ishwaraha other than the reality. Therefore, Ishwara, who is Ishwara? Ishwara is the truth, Brahma. So we say, you are the Pratyaksham Brahma, see. So you are the directly perceptible, the entire cosmos, which is nothing but the manifestation of the truth. And you are the truth. Therefore, you alone are in the form of the whole universe. That is the meaning of the second sentence. Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi. Om Namaste Ganapataye. Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi. Tvameva Kevalam Kartasi. त्वमेव केवलं धर्तासि, त्वमेव केवलं हर्तासि. Now how the whole, the Bhagavan is in the form of the whole universe. There is nothing other than Bhagavan here. That is said, that is elaborated, commented upon by these following three statements. Svameva pratyaksham. After that, that is, that sentence is commented upon by the following sentences. Svameva kevalam kartasi. So here, tvam asi, tvam asi. These two words are then all the three sentences. Tvam asi, you are. Tvam asi, you are. And what are you here? You say, tvameva. Tvameva kevalam kartasi. Tvam kevalam asi. Again, like yeva, the word kevalam also means what? Only. So you alone, you are the only creator of this universe. You are the only sustainer of this entire universe. You are the only truth in which the whole universe resolves. So the kevalam kartasi, kevalam dhartasi, kevalam hartasi. Tvameva. So, tvam eva kevalam. Eva is also there. Kevalam also is there. You alone are the only creator here. You alone are the only creator here. Which means, is the Lord creator, if you ask, if the question is asked, is the Lord creator of this universe? We have to say no. Lord is not the creator of the universe. Why? Because Lord is only a temporary qualification attributed to the very reality itself from the standpoint of this objective universe. There's no Lord other than the truth implied by the term Brahma. Your Lord is not the creator. But here we say you are the only, you alone are the only creator means what? There's no creator other than the Lord. There's no creator other than the Lord here. Which means, it's very important to understand the whole Upanishad finally helps us understand this most abstract fact that there is no creation at all. What is only the manifestation. When there is no creation at all, and how can there be creator, and how can there be sustained, and how can it be destroyed? There's no, nothing is destroyed also. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. Nothing can be created, nothing can be destroyed also here. What is only manifestation? Still, here we use this expression, you alone are the only creator of this entire universe. And you alone are the only sustainer of this entire universe. And you alone are the only truth in which the everything resolves. Means, there is no creator other than the Lord. There is no sustainer other than the Lord. There is no even, there's no truth, nothing other than the Lord where everything resolves. Which means, what it implies is, the whole cosmos enjoys its existence in the truth alone, which is the Lord. When the truth, the universe becomes manifest and remains unmanifest. The universe is not always shining. There is a time the universe shines. And there is a time the universe does not shine. Why? Why the universe doesn't shine always? If it shines always, then we should say what? We cannot have something called deep sleep state at all. The universe doesn't shine always. Which means, there is a time, in a given period of time, the universe shines. Only then the universe enjoys the status of being the existent. And there's a time the universe does not shine. Then the universe, even though universe is existent, still it loses its status of being the existent. Therefore, the universe does not have independent existence of its own at all. See, this is an important factor, it's a very subtle teaching. It may sound very simple. We have been listening to this for quite some time. Repeatedly we've been listening and we have been hearing, but we may think that we have understood it. We may think that this is repetitive, but still the fact is this entire objective universe of elements and the elementals, mobile and living, immobile beings, living and non-living, animate and inanimate beings, this universe of conscious of innumerable, countless forms, names and functions. And this universe does not have independent existence of its own. It will lose its status of being existent when there is no manifestation of knowledge. So manifestation of knowledge is the manifestation of the universe. Universe being manifest means what? When the universe shines, we say universe is manifest. When the universe doesn't shine, universe is unmanifest. What is vyakta prapanchaha and avyakta prapanchaha? When you say vyakta prapanchaha means manifest universe. Avyakta prapanchaha means unmanifest universe. Is there something called unmanifest and manifest? When the universe shines, it is called vyakta prapancha. It is shining. It is available for perception, available for enjoyment, available for experience. When the universe enjoys the status of being existent, it is vyakta prapancha. When the universe is, but when it is not available for perception, enjoyment, experience, and it loses its status of being existent, then it is avyakta prapanchaha. Therefore, the avyakta prapancha has to become the vyakta prapanchaha. The unmanifest universe has to become the manifest universe to have the status of being existent. And for it, this universe, however vast it is entirely, sheerly dependent on the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, if the knowledge has to manifest, there must be source of manifestation. And the source of manifestation must be of the independent existence. Must be of the nature of independent existence. And a source of manifestation cannot be something inert. How can the source of knowledge be the inner thing? Source of knowledge is the knowledge, the pure knowledge, pure awareness, pure consciousness is a source of knowledge. And there's that knowledge. There's a time knowledge is manifest. There's a time knowledge is not manifest. And how is it possible for knowledge to become manifest? Not to manifest. Knowledge remain as knowledge, pure knowledge. Knowledge can remain as pure knowledge. Knowledge can become manifest also. For knowledge to be manifest, to become manifest, or to remain as pure knowledge without manifestation, it must have its own capacity, its own shakti, its own power, which is inseparable from it. Like how sun has this shakti to illumine, the power of illumining, sun has it. Similarly, the capacity, the power of becoming manifest, or the power of remaining as pure knowledge, without manifestation is not something which is outside of the knowledge, and that inseparable power of the reality, the knowledge, is called Jnana, the is known by the term Maya. And when do you call Maya? The power of knowledge, when it is unmanifest, the power of becoming manifest is unmanifest, we call it Maya. The power of reality, when it becomes manifest, we call it universe. When there's manifestation, then that is when the universe shines. Universe available for perception. Universe enjoyable. Universe experienced. Then universe enjoys the status of being existed. Therefore, the universe is dependent on manifestation of knowledge for its existence. Universe is dependent on manifestation of knowledge for its existence, which means universe is dependent on the very knowledge for its very existence. Therefore, here we say the truth is, there's no truth, there's no reality other than this pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and which is implied by the term Brahma, and which alone enjoys the status of being the Lord. So what does the reality which enjoys the status of being the Lord do to lend existence to this universe? What does it do? Doesn't do anything. Just by its mere presence, sannidhi matrena sarvam prakashayati, just by its very existence, by its own power of becoming manifest and remaining pure, it brings to light the whole world. Therefore, it lends existence. Therefore, creating is nothing but bringing into light, bringing the universe into manifestation. And then, thereby it lends existence. And whenever the power of reality, the power of knowledge becomes unmanifest, which means when the reality remains as pure knowledge, again universe is not available for perception, enjoyment, experience, then we say the universe is unmanifest. The universe becoming unmanifest, whenever there's no manifestation, the reality remains as pure knowledge, there's no manifestation, and the universe doesn't shine, we say universe is unmanifest. Universe remaining unmanifest is called what now? Dissolution or resolution of the universe. So here, therefore, there's no Lord, there's no creator, there's no sustainer, there's no destroyer. So the reality is given this Ishvara status from the standpoint of the universe, which enjoys existence. Thereby, that's why we say Lord is the protector of the world, protector of everything. And as the Lord, we also say what? The creator of the universe, he does no creator, but the Lord is not the creator, there's no creation, it's only manifestation. But from the standpoint of the world, manifestation, we look up the Lord as the creator is the Lord. The standpoint of the existence of the world, we say the sustainer of the world is the Lord. Now from the standpoint of the universe becoming unmanifest, with the one in whom everything resolves, is also the Lord. Therefore, Harta. I said that last time, I stopped here. Sarvam karoti iti karta. Karta means maker, creator. Rikaranta shabdaha. Rikarantaha pullingaha kartri shabdaha. Karta. Tvameva kevalam kartasi. Tvameva kevalam dhartasi. त्वमेव केवलं हर्तासि. Be very careful as Vedanta students. You should not forget this fact that Vedanta never says there is creation. What is only manifestation. There is no creator, there is no sustainer, there is no destroyer. What is only the truth. The whole cosmos is only manifestation of knowledge, which is Ishvara. There is no Bhagavan or Ishvara other than the truth for us. This is a fact which we have to arrive at finally. And in understanding this fact of everything being Bhagavan, we see ourselves being non-separate from Bhagavan. We resolve the wrong understanding, wrong thinking we have about the self and the world. In resolving all our wrong perceptions of the self and the world, we see all our problems also resolve. That is what is actually freedom. So here then, but Upanishads always present this Srishti topic everywhere. In all the Upanishads, Srishti is discussed mainly to negate the universe, to negate the creation, to make us understand, to help us understand. This Srishti is discussed. Just because Upanishads discuss Srishti does not mean Upanishads' aim is establishing the Srishti creation. Upanishad's aim is to help us arrive at the subtlest fact that there is no creation at all, what is only manifestation. So when you say, you have to see all that is, there is only Bhagavan. When you say creator is Bhagavan, sustainer is Bhagavan, the one who in whom everything resolves is Bhagavan, means that the universe never exists outside of Bhagavan. Before the universe came into existence, where was the universe? Universe was in Bhagavan, we have to say first. Then we have to say the whole universe was Bhagavan before it came into existence. After having come into existence, where does the universe enjoy existence? Even then, universe enjoys existence only in Bhagavan. Even when the universe becomes unmanifest, resolves, where does it go? Then again, it's only in Bhagavan. Which means, whether the universe is manifest or unmanifest, there's no universe which enjoys existence independently outside of Bhagavan. Therefore, universe is Bhagavan. The whole cosmos is Ishwaraha. All that is here is Ishwaraha, means all that is here is only knowledge. You can put another word, Ishwaraha can be replaced by another term, knowledge. All that is here is only Ishwaraha. All that is here is only Bhagavan. All that is here is only the Lord, means all that is here is only knowledge. All that is only knowledge means knowledge alone shines in the form of everything. Tvameva kevalam kartasi. So eva and kevalam, two words are very emphatic. Eva itself is enough, but you are the only, you alone are the only creator. Means the universe did not exist even before becoming manifest also. Universe did not exist anywhere outside of Bhagavan. It means universe did not come into existence newly, it was already there in Bhagavan. Tvameva kevalam dhartasi. So dharta tvam eva kevalam, you know two meanings. We mean you have two words. Dharta. So karta, dharta and harta, all the three words are rikaranta shabdas. Vowel ending words. Words ending with the vowel r. Tvameva kevalam kartasi, tvameva kevalam dhartasi, tvameva kevalam hartasi. So, karta, dharta, kartri shabdaha, dhartri shabdaha, then hartri shabdaha. For people, Sanskrit students can use this to decline these words. You can learn to decline how these words. Kartra, dhartra, hartra. So karta, maker, creator. Dharta, sustainer. Harta means one who withdraws everything. One who takes away everything. Literally it means harta means harati iti harta. Like harihi and haraha. Harta also means one who snatches everything. When the knowledge, the power of knowledge becomes unmanifest, you know, the knowledge remains as pure knowledge. The whole world, the existence, length is taken away. What happens? Still universe enjoys existence, but it is, doesn't shine. It loses its status of being existent. Therefore, harta. Harta means one who snatches, one who takes away. So people literally say destroyer, but we never like to use the term destroyer, okay? The one in whom the whole universe remains unmanifest. Harta means the Lord in whom the whole universe remains unmanifest. Which means the existence, length is withdrawn. Eva Harta. Tvameva kevalam kartasi. Tvameva kevalam dhartasi. Tvameva kevalam hartasi. So our understanding must be very different. If you read little translations, you will find these translations. Oh Lord, you alone are the only creator. You alone are the only sustainer, protector, and you alone are the only destroyer. This is how you will find literal meanings, translations. But you should remember very well what it implied, what is implied by these three sentences is all that is here is only Bhagavan. The whole universe is, when it shines, when it doesn't shine, whether it is manifest or unmanifest, it doesn't enjoy existence outside of the truth. Therefore, because in the truth, just by its mere presence lends existence, and the world remains unmanifest also in Bhagavan, in the truth only. Therefore, the truth enjoys the status of being the Lord of the universe. Ishvara. And here, everything and anything within the matter, the whole universe can be reduced to one word, matter. That is why we say matter and consciousness are not two. At the same time, they're not one also. But that's why they're not two, we say. They're not two, they're not one. Why they're not two? Because matter is never countable as a parallel reality. It doesn't have independent existence of its own. So it is, that's why we use another word is used, Vedanta, Mithya. The whole Jagat reduced to one word, matter. And matter is within the realm of ignorance. Therefore, the final teaching is, we have to appreciate the fact you alone are the creator. This the one in whom everything resolves means you, the whole universe is Ishwaraha. Tvameva kevalam kartasi. Tvameva kevalam dhartasi. Tvameva kevalam hartasi. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. Now he makes it in this sentence, then it is made very clear, the word Brahma, even though Brahma implies the truth, idam Brahma means, this means the pronoun this always indicates the object of enjoyment, object of perception, object of knowledge. So Tvam Eva, Tvam Eva Sarvam Khalvidam Brahmasi. Again, Tvam Asi. In every sentence, you have to see these two, subject and the verb. Tvam Asi, you are. Oh Lord, you are. What are you here? Again, Tvam Eva, you alone are. What are you here? Tvameva sarvam idam. So idam is a third person singular neuter pronoun, which means this. And sarvam means entire. Idam sarvam brahma tvameva asi. Idam sarvam, mean what now? This objective universe in its entirety. This objective universe in its entirety is nothing but manifestation of knowledge, is Sagunam Brahma, Ishvara. Knowledge manifests this universe. We don't look at the universe, we look at all the opaque things, every opaque thing as only as reflection of light. It is very important, we have to see the fact. We always try to distinguish the opaque. The opaque cannot be counted at all. You know why? However big and gross and attractive it is, the opaque doesn't have countability. The opaque thing should be simply looked upon as the reflection of light. You know why? The opaque thing cannot shine outside of the light. When it doesn't shine outside of the light, it cannot have the status of being the existent. It loses its status of being existent. So opaque thing, for any opaque thing to enjoy in the existence, to have a status of being the existent, to enjoy existence, it must shine. And for it to shine, there must be light. So always in shining opaque thing presuppose what now? The light must be there before that. Only in the presence of the light, opaque thing can shine. That is why we look at every opaque thing, irrespective of its form, name and function. Every opaque thing, the purpose it serves, irrespective of the form, the name, the purpose it serves, we can simply say every opaque thing is nothing but a reflection of light. Light alone shines in all these different forms. Similarly here, we have to see all the elements and the elementals, the mobile and the immobile beings, the animate and inanimate beings, all the actions and functions, all the laws which govern these results of actions, and even all the experiences, all the pairs of opposites, everything that is here which constitutes the whole jagat, this Sarvam idam. The sarvam I can talk for ages. Now sarvam is a very highly expressive word. Sarvam idam. This entire the cosmos in its entirety, this cosmos, this objective universe in its entirety, being the manifestation of knowledge. So opaque thing is a reflection of light. Similarly, the whole jagat is manifestation of knowledge. We don't say matter. We don't say inert. We don't say everything for us is manifestation of knowledge, illumination of consciousness. That is why everything here is given the status of being the devata. Everything is looked upon as devata. Vriksha devata, vana devata, nadi devata, akasha devata, vayu devata, agni devata. Why do we give the devata status to everything? Because everything is manifestation of knowledge. All that is here is manifestation of knowledge. That is why to say that, what is the easiest way? Brahma. Idam sarvam idam brahma. This objective universe in its entirety is not being nothing but manifestation of knowledge Brahma. Therefore, Sagunam Brahma. It is the knowledge in the form of the whole universe. Therefore, Sagunam Brahma. Idam Sarvam Brahma is what? Nothing but the truth, essentially the knowledge. So manifest knowledge is essentially knowledge. And knowledge is what? The truth is here, given the Ishvara status, where we tell Bhagavan is what? Tvameva pratyaksham. Okay. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. Tvam eva idam sarvam brahmasi. And as we have this word khalu. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. Tvameva idam sarvam brahma khalu. You know, not khalu is not a name here. Khalu is again khalu. No, khalu. Khalu is actually an indicable word again, which is used as a tag. Isn't this entire object, isn't this entire universe, isn't this universe in its entirety, is this manifestation of knowledge, which is the truth, none other than yourself. Which means, we are not asking the question here, it is an expression of, it's expression of restating the acceptance, understanding of the fact that all that is, there is only Bhagavan. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. Tvam sakshadatmasi nityam. So until now, all about Jagat. We have already, usually in Upanishads, we start from ourselves, then we go to the universe. In this Upanishad, because we look at every, we are addressing Bhagavan. First we offer salutations to Bhagavan, then we say everything is here, and it is made very clear that already we have said what? The entire object universe is not universe. If you have the clear vision, for you, there's no universe, what is only Bhagavan. The truth, the manifestation of knowledge. For a person who has very clear understanding, if he asks, what do you see here? You can say, I see this, I see the window, I see the door, I see the wall, I see the picture, I see that and this. But if you see much more, then you can say, I just see the in many reflections of the only light. The two ways of saying, I see that, I see this, I see this. But you can also say what? No, what? When you are more right, when you say, I see many, many reflections of the only light. When you see the opaque things, you can say that also. Similarly here, if you have very clear understanding, you can say, what do we see here? I see innumerable, countless manifestations of appearances of the only truth, only knowledge. Jnanam Brahma. All that is Jnanam. Is it Tvameva Sarvam Khalvidam Brahmasi? Therefore, now it's very clear, all that is only Bhagavan. Now we have to that this, not only this objective universe in its entirety is manifestation of knowledge, which is Bhagavan. Even you are the very immediate self, not only directly perceived universe is Bhagavan, even the immediately obtaining the innermost self, nearest self, as the appearing as a perceiver, subject of this seer of the universe also is none other than Brahma, Ishvara. So, Tvam Sakshadatma Si Nityam. Tvam Sakshadatma Si Nityam. O Lord, Tvam, you are Sakshat Atma Asi. Sakshat also means direct, but Sakshat means immediate self. You are the innermost essence of all the beings, obtaining as the immediate nearest self, implied by the term Atma. O Lord, you are the innermost, you are the all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, thereby obtaining as the immediate nearest self, as the very truth of I, the subjective knowledge, the knower, seer. Now, the teaching is complete, actually speaking. There's no self, there's no I, there's no perceiver, there's no experiencer, there's no enjoyer, there's no doer, there's no seer, there's no experiencer, enjoyer, other than the Lord, obtaining the Lord, the truth. Tvam Sakshadatma Si Nityam. So when is the Lord Atma here? When is the Lord available as the innermost essence? When is the Lord obtaining as the nearest self, the immediate self, obtaining the truth of very I, the subjective knowledge? The seer said, Nityam, ever. Always, Tvam Sakshadatma Si Nityam. Tvam Sakshadatma Si Nityam. So the entire universe, I look at it as Bhagavan, then I see myself being non-separate from Bhagavan. Not only the objective universe is Bhagavan, even the experiencer, the knower, the enjoyer, the perceiver of this objective universe also none other than Bhagavan, Ishvara, the Lord. Tvam Sakshadatma Si Nityam. Tvam Sakshadatma Si Nityam. Tvam Sakshadatma Si Nityam. Ritam Vachmi, Satyam Vachmi. So, Tvam Sakshad Atma Asi. Now, this is where when you say, O Lord, you are myself. The amazing thing, you are myself. You are there as my real myself, which means I am non-separate from you. Tvam Sakshad Atma Asi. Implies what? You are there as the very self of every being means you are myself. I am non-separate from you. I am you. You are myself, I am you. So essentially, I'm not different from you. When you say I'm not different from you, there's no I outside of the truth. We understand the whole manifestation only in terms of two important vrittis. Vrittis means two important thought modifications. In terms of I am, this is. I am is also a thought, the expression of the thought, and this is also expression of the thought. And these two thoughts are cognitions and manifestations of knowledge, obtaining of thoughts. And the source of these two four manifestations is what? The one and the only truth, the pure knowledge. The Tvam Sakshad Atma Asi. And this is where, when you see this truth as the very self, you see Bhagavat Swarupam, Ishvara Swarupam. Ishvara Swarupam is the essence. What is Ishvara essentially? The whole cosmos is all that is there is Ishvara. What is this Ishvara essentially? The whole obtaining in the form of I and this essentially reducible to one thing, which is pure knowledge. And this pure knowledge is what? Well, that's why we say, when you say Brahma, this pure knowledge has no beginning. They're going to say later on, Tum Gunatraya Titaha, Tum Kalatraya Titaha. That time again I'm going to explain this. There's no beginning, no end. And therefore it is, there's no change. And now we say everything is Ishvara. Now we have Ritam Vachmi, Satyam Vachmi, Ritam and Satyam. The word Ritam also means the truth. The word Satyam also means the truth, literally. So the Ritam stands for the knowledge of the values. Ritam stands for the knowledge of values. What should I do? I should speak the truth. I should not lie. I should not eat. I should not hurt. I should do this. Not other people, but we tell ourselves. And implementing the knowledge of values in day-to-day life is Satyam. So Duryodhana had Ritam, but he did not have Satyam. Ritam and Satyam means what? Knowledge of values. I know what I should do. I know what I should not do. Knowledge of right and wrong is Ritam. And following, living one's life in conformity with knowledge of what is it and what is wrong. Which means doing what is right and refraining from the wrong is what? It is Satyam. What about these? Because the whole universe is within the realm of the universal, natural, moral law and order. And which itself is manifestation of knowledge. Then we say dharmaha. The order is called dharmaha. No, dhriyate anena iti dharmaha. Dharate iti dharmaha. that by which everything is held together is dharma. So whatever happens anywhere, for anybody, any place, in respect to anything, everything which happens is perfectly within the realm of the order. Because there is perfection. This cannot be improved. Already everything is in perfect condition. So whatever happens is within the realm of the perfect order. And this is Ishvara. That is why we look at it as what? We say, why there is this, the pain or pleasure? So, desirable, undesirable situations. They may look sound, they seem to be undesirable for us. They sometimes we say it is desirable, undesirable, unpleasant, and pleasant situations. But from our standpoint, we say ishta and anishta, desirable and undesirable. The standpoint of the order, there is only perfection. There's no disorder in anything at all. Even what seems to be disorderly also is in the realm of the order only. And the whole, therefore this whole order is Ishvara. See, first we started with Bhagavan as the whole. We also resolved we say Bhagavan is our own very self. Now again we are going back to what? What about the order within the realm of which everything that is here is? And order is also Ishvara. Order also is manifestation of knowledge. And understand, this is a very subtle fact. Only then we will really know, definitely we have no choice other than surrendering. Unless and until we understand Bhagavan being the very order. That's why there's no way of escaping the order. Escaping the order in the sense, anything uttered, anything done, anything, thought will have its effect. Whether we thought of something, whether we spoke something about something, or we did something. Thought, anything uttered, anything done. That doesn't matter where we did, where we spoke, what we spoke, how we did. And there is calculation. What exactly should be the effect? That will be there. When will it come back? It will take its own time. It will come. And once you finished doing it, then it can't be rectified. You have to pay for it. It will come back. Which means everything is in perfect order. And this very order is Bhagavan. And we have to understand this. That is why the whole Jagat, nobody needs to watch what we are doing, what we are saying, what we are speaking, what we are thinking. What we are thinking, what we are speaking, what we are doing. There must be alignment. And this definitely are taken into account. And that is why Bhagavan is called Manasaha Sakshi. Manasaha Sakshi. So definitely anything goes, everything is in conformed with Dharma. Everything is within the realm of the order. And here the whole order is also nothing but manifestation of the knowledge, which also Ishvara. See, the only in Upanishads made very clear, Ishvara, concept of Ishvara become very, very clear. Don't mechanically say, simply it is there. Bhagavan is in the knowledge, manifest is Bhagavan, the Lord, Bhagavan is in the form of universal, natural, moral law and order. All natural laws which govern everything, all results of all actions, are all this Ishvara, Bhagavan here. Therefore, knowledge of values is Bhagavan. And even the implementing this knowledge of values also Bhagavan. Nothing is, and results are also Bhagavan. The whole order is Bhagavan. Tvame Ritam Vachmi Satyam Vachmi. So Vachmi. Vachmi means Vadami. Vachmi is the second conjugation verb, present tense verb. Vadami, I say, I speak. So here I say, O Lord, I say, I declare, you are Satyam. What about the values? All the values are Bhagavan. The knowledge of values is nothing but Bhagavan. And the capacity to implement that knowledge of values in day-to-day life is also Bhagavan. Ritam Vachmi, Satyam Vachmi. So literally the word Satya means the truth. Truthfulness in speech is also Satyam. The reality also is Satyam, truth. But here, Satyam stands for the living the values in life, living the values in our life, in the consciously is Satyam. And knowing the values is Ritam. And what about this? Is also Bhagavan. Ritam Vachmi. Satyam Vachmi. Avatvam Mam. Important prayer. Most important prayer. Don't take it casually. Seriously. Be very serious. O Lord, may you protect me. You have to be intelligently selfish. Protect me. Don't worry about the world. First ask for your protection. Pray for your protection. You must be protected to pray for others' protection. When you yourself are unprotected, why do you think of others being protected? First see that you are protected well. You know. So, ava tvam mam, tvam ava, imperative verb, ava. Now what is the verb? Avati. Avati is what? Third person, present tense, third person, singular verb is what? Avati. Avati means protects. You will come across the meaning of this, this om also comes from this, root av. Swami explains it when you're reading Taittiriya, you will learn that. So avati protects. And imperative verb, may you protect, do protect. How will you say ava? Order. Imperative verb. Tvam ava. But tvam avasi, you protect, present tense verb. May you protect tvam ava. Whom? Why should I worry about anybody else? Me. Mom. Mom. Tvam mom ava. Ava tvam mom. Ava tvam mom. May you protect, may you protect me. Avatvam mam. Avatvam mam. Tvam mam ava. Put in different order. Avatvam mam. Avatvam mam. When you're chanting it, avatvam mam. You know, very, very, how do you want to protect it? Oh Lord, may you protect me means what? What does it mean? Simply relieving you of your temporary problems in life and helping get married, helping you find a boy, helping you find a girl, or helping you sort out some economic problems, financial problems, or some present day problems. Does it mean that? It can mean anything. But our means, oh Lord, may you protect me totally. May you protect me relatively. May you protect me absolutely. Here the word our, we ask for what? We pray for relative protection. We pray for absolute protection. I taught this meaning in when I taught you Shanti Pataha. Do you remember this? Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhuna Sahana Vavatu Sahana Avatu. That third person verb. May that Lord protect us. As the teacher that taught. That time I taught you the meaning of the word Avatu. Avatu is imperative third person verb. Ava is second person verb. There we say, may that Lord protect. And here we say, may you protect. Oh Lord, may you protect me. Avatvamma. May you protect me totally, relatively and absolutely. Avatvamma. Avatvamma. How can Lord protect you relatively and absolutely? So what is relative protection? What is absolute protection? We have to see that before we go to other things. Ava tvammam, ava bhaktaram, ava shrotaram, ava dhataram, ava dhataram. Avano chanam avasishyam avapaschatat. So the word ava is going to come many times. Ava. Until ava also means some grandmother. But not that ava. Okay? Ava. I know Tamil people use this word ava. But here, our, we're going to repeat it now. In bhajan, people sing, raksha, 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 pahi, pahi, pahi. May you protect, may you protect, may you protect. We'll repeat it now. So, how Bhagavan should protect? That we're going to see now. But here, we seek relative protection and absolute protection, because there is no protection other than this. Total protection, complete protection. Bhagavan is the only source of protection. And knowledge is protection. Absolute protection. When are we protected totally? When you are absolutely free from anxiety. The phenomenon called anxiety. Then you are protected. When can you be absolutely free from anxiety? Only when you're absolutely free from the hold of the phenomenon called fear. And when are you free from the hold of fear? Fear, when you are free from the fear of death. When you do not think of death, definitely you don't have fear of death. But Shastram has thoroughly analyzed, the thorough analysis, what is the root cause of the fear. why there is something called a fear. Why there is fear at all? What is this fear? This phenomenon called fear. You cannot draw how fear looks. You cannot paint how fear looks. You cannot express how fear looks. But your behavior will tell sometimes where you are frightened. You know, the fear is a state of mind. It is a subtle phenomenon obtaining in him of a thought. When it is, and that fear gets expressed in the form of the person who is afflicted by the problem of fear. So, this fear, what is the root cause of fear? Shastram has thoroughly analyzed. It cannot, this teaching cannot be improved at all. It's already clear. The fear is something, a phenomenon which cannot be destroyed, which you cannot remove it. It is very naturally there. In every human mind, the fear is, the root cause of the fear is the fear of death. The fear of death is that after death, I will not be here. Death is not a pleasant thing. Death is not a desirable thing. Who wants to die? Nobody will want to die. Well, people may say, I want to die. Suppose, imagine, Bhagavan comes and blesses us with the young body. 17-year-old body, whole life. The 5-year-old body is nuisance, okay? We will depend on it. 17-18-year-old body, the whole life. Who will want to die? No white hair, no brown hair, nice black hair, whole life, nice wrinkle-free skin, and healthy limbs, very healthy, strong. Suppose we are having a body which doesn't age at all. Non-aging body we all have. I tell you, nobody will like to die. Sometimes the body, because of the age of the body and because of the physical problems, and we say, okay, let me die at least, escape. That's a very, very rare people have. We try our best, go to the hospital, try to get a ventilator and everything, try all the medicines, then hopeless, helpless. You know, nobody wants to die. Because death is not pleasant, not desirable. You know why? Because your real nature is what is desirable for you. What is desirable for you is your own real nature. And everyone's real nature is what? Timelessness. You are of the nature of timelessness essentially. But what happens here? We'll see all those things next class. So here, the fear of death. Death is undesirable. Death things, you think death means I will not be here anymore. After death, I will not be here is the problem. Causes death. That causes fear. So Shastram says, the fear of death is the root cause of the very phenomenon called fear. Suppose the fear of death is not there, then fear will not be there at all. Then you have to search for the fear. Fear will resolve for good if the fear of death is not there. Then nothing else will cause any fear. Nothing else can trigger the fear in you. And who has this fear of death? Shastram says, every human being, irrespective of whoever the person is, every human being is, you know, given to this problem of fear of death. And why there's a fear of death? And how this fear of death can be resolved? If the fear of death is resolved, then the fear is resolved for good, then there is absolute protection while living, for which you need only the knowledge. So we'll continue this lesson next class.